Hello and good morning, Stavanger Lutheran Church. Pleasure to be here with you today, this May 9th, 2021. It is the sixth Sunday of Easter. And I would just like to say a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. To begin with a few announcements, we have a special guest today, Greg and Janet Anderson from Inspiration Point. Give a little talk to the kids beforehand, and they will be giving a message today. More on them later. And also, they mentioned about a camp scholarship. If anybody is interested in the camp scholarship, please talk to Joy. Contact Joy Mathiasen. Joy has a bit to share.
We always have camp scholarships for kids, and this year we've already used up quite a bit. We have about 6 or 7 kids already signed up, and we could always use more in the fund. So if you're willing to donate to the fund, I think Pastor John talked about it last week, just mark on your check or mark whatever to put in the special camp scholarship fund that we can help the kids. Greg also talked at Sunday school that there's money that they have too. So if you have kids or grandkids, somebody that you know that would like to go but can't afford it, let us know. We can talk to Greg too, and they can help as well. But church does have some scholarships to help you guys get going. So if you want to add to that, we'd love that. Thank you.
Thank you, Joy. Some further announcements. We have a new Bible study going on. Bible study on the book of Isaiah. That will be on Tuesday nights, 7 p.m. Contact Pastor John for more information. Again, we have the virtual Shady Oak Bible study. We're still doing that virtually, but that will be Tuesday night, 7 p.m. You can contact me for a link or more information about that. May 23rd is the last day of Sunday school. It's coming up May 23rd. Weather permitting, the worship service will be outdoors with an outdoor picnic to follow. We'll be serving hot dogs, chips, and beverages will be provided. Confirmation Sunday. Confirmation Sunday will be on May 30th. So look forward to seeing you there as we celebrate with the confirmants. Worship will be at 9:30 a.m. over the summer, so mark your calendar, 9:30 a.m. beginning May 30th. And if there's any other announcements from the congregation? Okay. Well, let us be... Oh, yeah, we do have an announcement. Oh, yes. And we are proud and happy to welcome Luke and Sarah's new baby, Elijah Scott Delaney. Yeah. Yeah. Let us begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hear the call to worship from Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people with equity. We'll pause for a moment of silence and the tolling of the bell. As you are so able with the congregation, please rise as we worship the Lord in song.
Please use your bulletins today. If you need a bulletin, wave your arm and maybe the usher can give you one. But that's where the words will be, is in your bulletins. A mighty fortress is our God. Please join us.
Reading from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
You may be seated, and please continue singing with us, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me.
My joy.
This time, I would ask the congregation to again please rise for the confession of our sin. You'll see the words printed in your bulletin. I will read under the heading Pastor, and you can read along with me under the heading Congregation. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. By your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will,
true obedience to your word. By your grace, we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on His name, He gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them His Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Congregation, we will now confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please read along with me.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Congregation may be seated. We'll take this time to hear any prayer requests. Any prayer requests from the congregation? Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we're able to gather today, this Lord's Day, to come into Your house, to be Your body, to have the time and space set aside to worship You, Lord, and to encourage one another, and to take part in the mission that You have called us to. Lord, teach us Your ways. May we hear Your word. May we do Your word. Lord, I thank You for the special guest we have today. Help us to hear the message that is spoken before us. Lord, we pray for our community, our families, our nation, and the world. All peoples, Lord. And this difficult time that we've all had, been familiar with suffering. We remember, Lord, that You are well acquainted with suffering. You suffer with us. Lord, comfort us and make us into comforters with Your Holy Spirit. We look forward. We look forward with hope, because You have called us, Lord. And now I invite all the congregation to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I'm thrilled today to introduce our speaker today, Greg Anderson, president of Inspiration Point Christian Camp and Retreat Center. He's here today along with his wife Janet, who's up helping run the presentation from the computer end of things here. Welcome, first of all. Greg and Janet, Tammy and I have known them for some years. Before we were part of the Church of the Lutheran Brethren, our oldest, Mariah, and we can't remember the exact years, but Mariah's in her late 20s now, and she was pretty young when she first went to iPoint, so I would say it's been 20-ish years we've known Greg and Janet. And Tammy and I met working at a Bible camp, not Inspiration Point. I've visited a number of camps, and when we first were introduced to Inspiration Point, we recognized this as really the cream of the crop of outdoor ministry. Very impressed and blessed by how true to the word they are and a passion for Jesus and for people coming to know Jesus. And what a great ministry we have to partner with here at Stavanger with Inspiration Point, so close at hand. Very thankful. My family's been blessed by them. 4 out of 5 of our kids have worked on staff, and all 5 have been campers on multiple occasions. And I hope you too will see the value of camp and listen as Greg shares what God's put on his heart today. Thank you. Welcome.
Good morning. Absolutely delighted and honored to be here with you this morning. And I want to start off by saying thank you to you, not only for the opportunity to be here today, and when I received the invitation to come and Pastor Jewel's words to share with you what God is doing through Inspiration Point, I was thrilled at that. I was also reminded of the long time partnership that we've had with this church. And I was thinking this past week of for years and years, we used to have a quilt auction at camp. And we had a faithful group of quilters who would send quilts to Inspiration Point and helped us fund a lot of projects and for years and years and years. And then it's just continued. We're so grateful that we get to partner in the gospel with you and what God's doing in this area around here. And that you, through camp and other venues, get to partner with the Lord in doing what He's doing around the world. And I was struck when you were praying a little bit ago about, you mentioned the phrase that God's given us the time and the space. And time and space is something we think a lot about. Dr. Timothy Clydesdale, the College of New Jersey, writes about those are the two greatest needs in his mind of Americans today. Time and space, but he went on to talk about time and space to consider the big things of life. We know that when kids come to camp, they need time away, and they need space to consider the big questions of life. Who am I? Is there a God? If so, what does that mean for me? What's going on in the world? Is there any hope? And what's my role in that? And what happens when I die? Those are the big questions of life, and it's at places like Inspiration Point where people get to consider those questions. And I hope by the time I'm done today that you get some glimpses into how God has answered those very questions in the lives of many, many people. Before I go any further, though, I would love to have Janet hit play. And I want to show you a video of what camp looks like in the summertime. We run throughout the year, but this will give you a glimpse into the new facilities we have at Twin Oaks. So I'd invite you to turn your eyes toward the screen. I won't describe it to you, but Janet, we'll just let it go.
Let our praises remind all the darkness of how great and how...
That's okay. That's a great song, by the way.
We tested this beforehand. It works like it's our computer.
Work like a charm.
Yeah. Oh.
What if... You want to try hitting it one more time, Janet? You know, the only thing worse than trying to get a campfire started when everyone is watching you is trying to get technology to work when everyone is waiting. It's true. And we have a little saying at camp when things like this happen.
Let our praises remind all the darkness of how great and how mighty our God is. For the battle belongs to the Lord and no one else. We are standing in holy defiance. We're declaring aloud in the silence that the battle belongs to the Lord and no one else. No as we take back the ground from the darkness, the battle belongs to the Lord and no one else. You're the banner we raise in the chaos. No, the gates of hell won't stand against us.
That gives you a little look. Janet, thanks for your diligence up there. I said, we have technological issues at camp once in a while, too. And I was going to say, the phrase we normally use is, we just say, that's weird, and then we move on. And that just happens sometimes. But thanks for getting that up there. I hope it gives you a little glimpse into what's ahead for summer. We have camps for kids entering first grade all the way up through 12th grade. And one of the unique things about Inspiration Point is we typically have more high schoolers attending camp than any other age. In 2019, before the pandemic, we had over 400 high schoolers that attended camp, and about 380 junior hires and so forth. And kids came from 18 different states. So what the Lord is doing out there is really reaching across quite a broad region across the U.S. And so we're grateful for the opportunities that we have to share His Word with so many. What I'd like to do this morning is to talk with you a little bit. I want to weave together what makes camp unique and how God uses it. And I want to bring a message to you in that as well, that you might be encouraged, not only by the stories that you hear and of your eyes and ears hearing what God is doing, but also that you'd be encouraged by His Word, that you leave here today and that you're nourished, and that we can leave here like when kids leave camp, that they leave ready to face the world from a stronger position. I mentioned a little bit during the Sunday school hour of camp, and people often think of camp as a mountaintop experience, right? Does that make sense to you? And sometimes people can knock those things because they fade, and they do. But really, when you think about it, life is God gives us mountaintop experiences to carry us through life. Maybe you've been to a conference where you've come home and you've been invigorated and so forth. Maybe it's a gathering of believers. Sunday mornings are meant to be mountaintops, right? We all have times we come together to worship the Lord. We hear God's word spoken that we might be encouraged and reminded of who He is, who we are in light of Him, and we leave the doors of the church, right? And Monday comes. Monday comes, but God has built a rhythm into our lives of working and living and then resting and worshiping. And then He invites us to, and He reminds us that the worship then takes place throughout the week. And we learn more and more as we walk with Jesus about what it means to walk with Him all the days of our lives. Camp is a microcosm of that, where students who are used to the rhythm of life of church on Sundays, or perhaps it's a Wednesday night program, they come to camp, and for 4 to 5 days, they get a chance to live all of life centered on God and God's Word, the things that can't be shaken. And so they learn about His call in their lives as much as when they're having Bible study as it is when they're talking with their friends and when they're playing a game and when there's strife in a cabin group. And what God has done for us in Jesus, how that impacts all of life. So camp is a holistic experience. I want to talk a little bit this morning about what I call the four F's of camping, the letter F, okay? The four F's of camping. The first one you saw lots of examples of on here, and that would be fun. Fun. Camp is a fun place. It's supposed to be. We talk at camp about a padlock. And one of the, if you think of opening a combination padlock, there are typically three numbers. You don't have the option of mixing those numbers up. And you don't have the option of switching the numbers. If your padlock's numbers are 19, 12, 7, you can't move and say, I'm going to use 20 instead, just because it's my favorite. There is a sequence and a specificity of numbers that have to be opened. In the same way at camp, we think of a camp being a padlock too, from our perspective. And the first number in the padlock is fun. We want kids to have a fun time when they come to camp. And so you'll see, we use music, we use games, we use things like the zip line that we have, lots of laughter. We do it in a wholesome way. We look for ways to have fun that would not fit on a typical primetime television, where fun and laughter comes at the expense of someone else. We want to have wholesome fun and the funnest fun. And when that happens, our guard gets let down. And when we're able to laugh and enjoy ourselves, people who come to camp, kids who come to camp, they forget about themselves, and their eyes are more likely to be lifted to Jesus. I think of all the memories that are made about with fun in mind at camp. If you ever went to camp as a child, you maybe remember, if I were to ask you, what do you remember about camp? It's very possible that something fun pops into mind. Oh, I'll never forget when this happened. and you laughed until your sides hurt. That's possible. I'll never forget one young boy who was a fifth grader many years ago, and he was participating in what we call the swamp hike at Spitzer. Okay, you think, what is a swamp hike? It's an area of the lake where the water was about this deep and the mud was about this deep underneath it. And kids link arms and they walk through the mud and it comes up, you know, above their knees. And it was optional, of course. But one kid came out of that and he went the whole nine yards and he grabbed seaweed and he had it on his head and he came out and I said, Robert, what did you think of the Christ hike? And he looked up at me with his big toothless grin and he said, this is better than Disneyland. He was having fun. He was having fun. And we know that's important. Camp is a fun place. Camp is a fun place. A second F would be the word friendship or fellowship. There's something about a camp experience that first of all, breaks down barriers between people, and second of all, welds together friendships that last. God uses camp to break down barriers, and that kids who come to camp are coming from all different regions, backgrounds. We're all different. They're coming from different socioeconomic status than their friends, and they come to camp, and camp is a great equalizer. And it's beautiful. We have kids rolling into camp from wealthy suburbs of Minneapolis in Cadillac Escalades, and we have kids coming, being sent to camp by their county on respite care because the kids need a vacation from their lives. And they show up at camp and they don't have maybe changes of clothes, they don't have a sleeping bag, and we have a generous donor who gave us money a long time ago. I don't know if it'll ever run out. And when kids come to camp and they have any material needs, we get to go to Walmart and go shopping for them and bring them back a big bag of clothes and toothbrushes and all kinds of things like that. And camp, everybody's equal. The athletes and the kids who've never set foot on the basketball court, and the artists and the readers, and they get to participate in things like adventure course, and they find out that, oh, it's not the big, strong one that is the most valuable in this. In fact, it's the smallest, the meekest child that's going to win the day for his or her group. And we see how God takes friendships and he welds them together because of what he's done in their life. And we find out, in fact, at camp, kids find out that we're all equal, that we're all sinners, and we've fallen short of God's glory. And that we're all desperate. We have the same need. And God has answered that need in the same way for everybody. And bonds are forged that last lifetimes. Many of the people who come to camp can look back and say, this is, and they talk years and years and years later about their friends from camp, and they're groups of students who work together, and it was at camp where those bonds were formed. Sometimes we smile. We give thanks to God for the marriages that have taken place out of camp among our staff. Since Janet and I arrived, there have been, I think it's over 60 different weddings that have taken place. People who've gotten to know each other at camp. People ask, they say, do you promote that? We say, no, we manage it. We manage it. But you know what? This is remarkable. It may not always be like this, but we've had over 60 weddings at camp. And zero divorces. That's in contrast to what we see in the world today. Statistics say that shouldn't be happening. But it's another example of how God takes lives and he welds them together and he uses camp to do that sometimes. And kids who come to camp, they learn about the essentials of friendship. That because of what Christ has done for them, that they're able to offer forgiveness to their friends. And they learn about when something goes haywire in a cabin, right? Hannah, when something's wrong and they find out that I can forgive my friend. There's nothing that anybody can do to me that can compare with what Christ has done for me. And they learn how to work through those things and so forth. And it happens at camp and God uses that place in that way. So camp's about fun and it's about fellowship. I think primarily, if you think about camp, I hope the very first thing that would come to mind would be the word that starts with F, the word faith. That's what camp is all about. How God weaves and works faith and grows faith in people. And it happens often at camp. Used to be a leader of the Church of the Lutheran Brethren. His name was Reverend Omar Jernis. Told me when I first came to camp, he said, "Greg, camp is the greatest evangelistic tool we have available to the church today." And we see that. We can't wait to use the property at Twin Oaks. I hope you all get to be out there. One of the things I've noticed about this place is it engages all of the senses. We get to go out to camp in the summertime. I hope some of the kids who come to camp can go out and they can pick wild raspberries and blackberries and blueberries and taste God's goodness that He's given to us. And they get to see the beauty of the site and see the wildlife that's present out there. They wake up in the morning and they get to feel the warmth of the sun or the cool breeze on a very hot day, or maybe it's the blaze of a campfire. Maybe it's the smell of the wildflowers in the backyard of the lodge. We hope they get to hear the trumpeter swans that sail over the camp, or the sandhill cranes. We have sandhill cranes galore out there. And if you've never been underneath those things, as they flap their giant wings, their call is beautiful, and it's strange too. Do you know what they sound like? I'll try. And it's wonderful. Camp engages all the senses. And I've been struck as I've been to camp. I don't know if I've ever thought about this, but I thought, what if one of my senses was missing? What would I be missing out on? As I think about faith today, I think about this section in Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 14. If you've spent some time around church, you've heard these before, but listen to these all over again. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? How can they not believe in the one whom they've not heard? Right? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And it continues in verse 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. And I thought to myself, sometimes walking on the trails, I thought, is it possible that I don't hear well? Janet reminds me, I'm hearing less. John and I were joking about that. As we get older, our hearing's not improving. Our physical hearing. But how do I not hear what God is saying? Does that happen? Does it happen to you? It happens to me a lot. It happens to people all the time. There's different reasons why people don't hear. I think one reason, some people don't hear the gospels because they don't want to. I mean, they just dig in their heels and say, I don't want anything to do with that. Or, this has been my experience. This happened to me. Now I'm closing myself off. And that's never been a part of my life. I thank God for that. But I know I have friends who, that's their story. I don't want anything to do with it. I won't hear. More apt in my life, I hear, but it doesn't register with me. We have a daughter, Kara, who, when she was young, how many of you took piano lessons when you were young? Did you? I did, and I don't know if you were like me, but I hated practicing. I hated piano lessons. Almost 90% of the people who used to take piano lessons say, I wish I had continued to take piano lessons. I wish I had. But when I was this tall, I didn't want to take piano lessons. That was not our daughter, Kara. Kara loved piano lessons, and she would play all the time. We always had piano playing in our house. It was wonderful, except when I needed her to stop playing piano. And my job on Sunday mornings as the dad in the Anderson household was to get everybody out the door so that we get to church on time. And I would kind of I would herd people, and I would yell downstairs, "Elise, it's time to go. Come on upstairs." And she'd say, "Okay, Dad." And I'd walk by by our bedroom and say, "Janet, I'm getting the girls. We're going to be in the garage." She'd say, "Okay, Greg." And I'd walk, and I'd hear the piano playing. I'd say, "Kara, put your shoes on. We're going to church." And she'd say, "Okay, Dad." And I'd walk back, and I'd say, "Elise, are you coming? Janet, I'm going to start the car. We'll be in the driveway." And she said, "Be right out." And I walk to the other end of the house, and the piano's still going. I say, "Kara, did you put your shoes on?" "No, Dad." "Why not? Did you hear me?" "Yeah, I heard you." "Why didn't you put your shoes on?" "I don't know, Dad." And it just baffled me. It just, something got lost there. And I'm reminded in Mark chapter 12, Jesus is being questioned by teachers of the law. And one of the questions they ask him is this: what's the most important commandment of them all? And he starts out by saying this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Okay, and he continues on: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself." But he starts out: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." That's called the Shema, okay, in Hebrew. And it means to hear. Okay? "Hear, O Israel." It's a reminder. It's still spoken today in Orthodox Jewish circles. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." But it doesn't hear. Implied in that is this: hear and obey. Hear and do something about it. That Kara was not doing the Shema well. She was hearing, but she didn't do anything about it. For a lot of us, we hear and then we just forget. It's who we are. We're really good at that. And then why don't people hear? Because we're distracted. And I think of people when they come to camp, leaving the distractions of the world. What kind of distractions are out there? Lots of voices that are yelling at you and yelling at me and yelling at our kids very, very loudly. Be better. Do a better job. You need to get the promotion. You better come through. You need to work harder. You need to try more. If you're kids, you better get the grade you're supposed to get. You need to get into that club. You got to make the team. Right? Those voices scream at us all the time. You're not enough. I see a lot of grandparents here. We're loving being grandparents. We have two, third one on the way this summer, and I'm loving it. But I feel pressure as a grandparent. It's really strange. This is being recorded. I won't say anymore. The pressures I feel as a grandparent to do a good job as a grandparent. And those voices come at us all the time. And I think sometimes I don't hear the voices that are important. When people come to camp, faith grows because a lot of times we can hear better. Out of the mouth of a fourth grade girl many years ago, "I know God doesn't speak any louder at camp, but I sure can hear him better." Because the voices of the world are playlists that go over and over and over in our head that tell us we don't measure up and we've fallen short and we did it again. They fade as we come into the presence, or we get to focus on the one who speaks words of hope, truth, promise, forgiveness to us. How does he do that at camp? Two ways: general revelation, special revelation. General revelation says, in Romans 1, we're without excuse. We cannot look at this world and say there's no God. It doesn't happen. It's Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. We're without excuse. That's general revelation. But it doesn't tell us who that God is. That's what we find out in the pages of Scripture, where God reveals himself to us. Here, he does it specially for us. And at camp, there's a marriage between those two things. How God speaks in the beauty of creation and how he speaks to us in the pages of Scripture. And it's a powerful combo. We had a young boy who came to camp a number of years ago. Again, a lot of these stories that happened a long time ago, but they stick in my mind. Eighth grade boy came to camp. The very first day he was sent to camp. That happens too. Didn't want to go, was sent to camp. Told his counselor, "I don't want anything to do with this camp. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be with you. I don't want to listen to anything you have to say." His counselor wisely said, "It's okay. I'm glad you're here. Just come along." He went through the week, and on the final morning of camp, He told his counselor, he said, "Do you remember what I said to you when I first came?" The counselor smiled and said, "I sure do." And this young man said, "Well, I want to tell you something. Spitzer Lake, that surrounds the peninsula where we held camp, Spitzer Lake screams of a creator." And he pointed to a place on the grass where his cabin group had had Bible study every day. And he said, "And I met him right over there." As they opened up the Bible, faith happens at camp. As God speaks to us, he speaks to you. Are you listening? He speaks words to you like this: "You're forgiven. I've done it all. It's finished." Can you hear him? People who've come to camp have heard him, sometimes for the very first time. A middle school student this fall said, "Although I knew all the stories, I didn't have a relationship with God, but now I do, and I'm so glad." A high school student in February wrote, "Every time I come here, I feel like somebody pushed a reset button." We all need resets, don't we? Over and over and over again. Some retreat guests this year wrote things like this: "God's handiwork is extraordinary at camp. The light came on brighter about God's grace to me." A student wrote, "With everything going on in the world, this has been a time when trusting in God's faithfulness has been really difficult. This weekend was just what I needed." Another one wrote, "I've always had a relationship with God, but I get easily distracted from what's important. This weekend reminded me that God's faithful and that I can trust him." God weaves and works faith at camp, like he does in many places. He does it in special ways at camp. Fun, fellowship, or friendship, and faith. And finally, camp's about future. Camp's about the future. It's not about staying at camp. Lots of kids, lots of staff members want to stay at camp. It's a good place, but it's not about that. It's about leaving. It's going back down the mountain. The disciples wanted to do the same thing, to stay on the mountaintop. But Jesus invited them back down the mountain with him. It's about the future. When kids walk away from camp, we hope they come back the next year. It's about staff members. Over 600 in the last 30 years have called camp home for at least 12 weeks. And then they leave, and they go to families and communities and workplaces and churches, and they serve out of what God's done for them and with some of the skills that they've learned while they've been at camp. In the last 2 weeks, we've gotten letters from two former staff members. One named Ben said, he's not coming back to camp anymore. His time is done. He's getting ready for a career. And he said, "Thank you. I learned at camp that God put me on this earth to work with students." Another girl wrote, "I'll never forget what was taught to me at camp and what I caught." A young man named Ted talked about camp as he's left camp, went to college, med school. "I can't say enough about how God changed me and my walk with Christ at camp. I talk about it all the time in our church whenever I share my testimony. Serving at camp gave me a taste of what being a part of the body of Christ could be like. Laboring hard together for the gospel, meeting together daily, encouraging one another, holding each other accountable. I'm thankful to say that these dynamics continue day to day where I am now, and it's totally changed what my faith looks and feels like. I wish I could thank everybody who has helped provide the space at camp so that I could learn those values. I thank God for camp." We thank God for camp and for the lives that have been changed there. And I want to thank you for your role, your partnership in the gospel. And I hope as you think of Inspiration Point, you remember to pray. And you praise God for the work that he's doing in individuals' lives Now he's using that special place only about 45 minutes from here to impact lives both near and far. And I'm grateful for the opportunity I had to be here with you this morning. I hope you've been encouraged. I hope your eyes, too, have been lifted to the God who's done it all. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg and Janet, again. Just want to remind you, there's a display table. Greg and Janet will be here after the service. You have questions, you want to find out more about camp, you want to contribute to the ministry, a couple ways you can do it. You can do it directly to iPoint, and they can help you with that. Or as well, as Joy mentioned, our camp scholarship fund, you can help in that manner too. So thanks again, and call upon Pastor Giovanni to close our service.
Thank you for the message. Congregation, would you please rise as you are so able for our closing chorus, "Go Now in Peace." Benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.